My name is Tyrell Como, Senior Director of Clinical and Support Services at Legacy Good Samaritan Hospital. Today is an episode of Engaging Our People. This is a special episode for Black History Month that is titled Black Voices, Black Stories by Black Voices for Black History Month. I have with us today two spectacular guests who I will now turn over and let them introduce themselves. First, we have Sandra. Sandra, if you'd like to introduce yourself.
Sure. Hi, I'm Sandra Evangelista. I'm the nurse manager of Meridian Park Family Birth Center, and I've been a legacy employee for just over seven years.
And also with us today, we have David. David, if you want to take the time to let the podcast world know who you are.
This is David Jones, supervisor for food nutrition here at Emmanuel Medical Center and Randall's Children's Hospital. I've been with Legacy for 17 years.
As I mentioned earlier, this episode we are calling Black Stories by Black Voices in honor of Black History Month. So just a brief little history about Black History Month for those who may not be aware. So Black History Month was created in 1915 by Black Harvard-educated historian and author Dr. Carter G. Woodson to acknowledge and honor the history and culture of Black people in America. February was chosen primarily because the month coincides with the birthdays of Abraham Lincoln and Frederick Douglass. Here at Legacy Health, we prioritize racial equity, inclusion, and anti-racism, which involves celebrating the rich history of all staff who work here. Berg's theme this Black History Month is mentoring. We're reflecting on our history and our experiences in the workplace. Companies like Legacy can be inclusive by providing support and empowering talent to ensure all professionals, especially those from underrepresented communities, have access to resources and tools that enable career advancement. According to Fast Company, Black employees are more likely to leave their jobs than other underrepresented groups. This is often due to lack of mentors, role models, and support. Black mentorship can help bridge this gap and create a more inclusive workplace culture. So after going over the information that I just provided, that leads us to me to pose some questions to Sandra and David in the same thought around mentorship. So my first question to we'll start off with Sandra, and then I'll move to David. Do or did you have a mentor that played an essential role in your life?
Yes. My mentor that I have right now is Mel Stiebel. She's CNO, VP, and COO over at Meridian Park Family Birth, Meridian Park Hospital. And, you know, it's interesting when you say the amount of folks that want to leave a job. I have felt like that. I want to say 2020 was a rough year for, you know, for everyone. And if it wasn't for Mel, everything that I went through over the last 2-3 years, I probably would have been gone. She's been extremely supportive. I have cried on her shoulder. She even within her job duties, and there's times that I haven't wanted to reach out to her because I know she's busy, but many times she would tell me, that's what I'm here for. Anytime you need me, you reach out, I will find the time. And she does. So yeah, Mel, she means a lot to me. She's helped me through some personal, you know, things and a lot of tough situations at work. So,
thank you for sharing your story. That's great to hear that we have people within the organization that, although we per se don't have a formal mentor program, that there are people out there that are actually doing this work currently. So that's great to for you to share your story, because I think that's extremely important for those stories to be shared. So thank you. David, moving on to you, who I know, David, I call him Mr. D, but to the podcast land, this is David. So same question, do or did you have a mentor that played an essential role in your life?
I did. I had to kind of think about this question, and I realized I did. I hadn't thought of them officially as mentors, but for me, it's been Tressa Graham, who is catering manager here at Emmanuel and Randall, and Andre Cole, who is executive chef here at Emmanuel and Randall. Both of them have taken me under their wing and guided me and brought me up the ladder rung here at Legacy. And so they saw something in me that I didn't necessarily see myself. They brought me over to the purchasing side of food nutrition. I did that for 10 years and eventually moved me over to the management side where I'm currently as a supervisor. They've both given me wonderful advice over the years. They've always pulled me to the side and whispered in my ear, like, you would be really, really good at this. And you are really, really great at that. And things that I didn't even realize that maybe I had skills in. Like Sandra said, like when I've had hard times and just had questions and just concerns, they've always been a shoulder for me to kind of lean on and a ear for me to just kind of like express my thoughts and feelings. And they helped me out and guided me along the way. So I really appreciate those two.
Now, again, thank you for sharing your story. And again, it goes to highlight that, you know, although we don't have a formal process, you know, at this current time, there are a lot of people within the organization that's out here doing this work and pouring into people, as we like to call it, answering questions, being open and, you know, willing to listen and you know, kind of encourage people to see things in themselves that they may not be able to see at that moment in time. And I think that's, you guys both spoke in your own individual way on the why mentorship is extremely important, you know, to be a part of the recruitment and retention strategy for any organization. I think you guys both articulated very clearly on why it's very important to have these type of programs in place. All right, moving on to the next question. We'll go in reverse order. So I'll start with you, David. Were you involved in a formal workplace program or an informal one? And some of it may be redundant, but you can answer the portion that you haven't already answered, if that makes sense.
A work program as far as what, mentorship?
Yeah, were you involved in a formal workplace program or an informal one?
No, I guess it would be informal. Nothing like super formal. It was really like, hey, you, come on. I got something to tell you. And this is what I feel like you should do. So I guess, look, that's about as informal as you could get.
So after hearing what you said, you were a quote unquote part of an informal mentorship program. Okay.
But it would be nice if we had more of a formal mentorship here. Sort of like the Big Brother, Big Sister program that you have, or, you know, SEI. Especially like working here, I've been here a long time. It's nice to see faces like us in roles that you can aspire to. And it wasn't like that when I first got here. And over the years, it's definitely gotten better. And you see, maybe I want to be a nurse, or maybe I want to, you know, do PR, do what you do, or Terrell, who has a new job every 2 weeks. You blink for a couple seconds, he's CEO or something. It's nice to see that and to know that you can reach out and say, hey, you know, if I wanted to get to this field, you know, what could I do? So I think it'd be important for us to have more of a formal system here.
I guess for you, David, I got two follow-up questions, kind of, sort of. First one would be, in seeking a mentor, does race matter to you, right? Because, I think we got to be honest that, you know, some people may prefer to have a mentor that looks like them, or some people may not care. And, you know, they just want the information. So whoever provides you with the information, they're like, great, I will take the information. That's the first question. Maybe that's the only question I have. My apologies. So that question.
So I would say, like, no and yes. Like, no, race doesn't matter, but yes, it does, because, look, we understand ourselves way different than somebody else might. And so, like, hey, is this a good move? Is this a good move for me to make? Is this a good vertical? This is a good horizontal move for me to make to get to a different place? And I think with us, we have a way of being honest with each other that, like I said, it just helps you just figure out your path in life a little bit better. It's a little bit more authenticity when it comes from us. And
yeah. So as you were answering that question, I did remember my second question. I'm sorry. You're trying to make this, you know, we want people to hear this and, you know, get high numbers. So when you said that things have gotten better, can you explain in your own words, like, what do you mean by that? Because I hear that a lot, right? I mean, I've been with the organization going on 13 years and people are like, oh yeah, things have gotten better. But to me, that's kind of abstract. Like, from your own perspective, your opinion, when you say things have gotten better as far as seeing more, and I don't even want to put the words in your mouth. I would just like for you to explain, like, what do you mean by that? Things have gotten better, because I'm curious.
Well, Legacy has always been diverse. Like, when I got here, I was meeting races and nationalities that I didn't even know existed. And it's been really cool to kind of, like, just tap into other cultures and kind of see, you know, hear other people's individual stories. But when it comes to upper management, you didn't necessarily see a lot of you know, brown and black people. So over the years, you're definitely seeing a lot more of that. And that's definitely helped as far as giving you something, once again, to aspire to kind of know, oh, okay, so there is a, it gives you the feeling that there could be a spot for me there. Not, oh, I could be there, I might be the token. Or, you know, I might be the only one. It may not last that long. But when you see people kind of go, especially when you see them kind of move up the rankings, you realize that, oh, then Legacy could actually be a home for me, a long-term home for me too. And not just a stepping stone to leave the organization, to go be around somebody, be in an organization where there's more people like me.
Now, thank you for explaining what that meant, right? Because I always challenge people, you know, when people make these kind of abstract, you know,
yeah,
to kind of really dial that in to really make sure. And, you know, kudos to the organization as well, right? That kind of lets you know that things are moving in the right direction, but I don't want us to bring out the champagne.
Right, right.
Quite yet.
Right. You know, we still got work to do.
Yeah, we still got some work to do, but I think things are going in the right direction, and it's glad that you're seeing it too, because that's what's important. Like, we all got to see it. Can't just be the five of us over here, but, oh yeah, things are getting better, and the rest of the 95% is just like,
no, it ain't. Yeah. Correct.
So, all right, Sandra, same question. Were you involved in a formal workplace program or an informal one?
Mine was informal. As a matter of fact, how I ended up in the manager's role, I was the A&M educator at Meridian Park, and I wasn't, because a lot of things that were going on, I wasn't going to apply for that manager's position. But Mel encouraged me. She actually had reviewed my resume and suggested some changes. So I made those changes, and I mean, here I am today. She has supported me, and every interaction that I have with her, I learned something more, you know, whether it's the one-on-one meetings that I have with her, or if I'm in a room where she's leading a meeting or presenting something in a meeting, I learned something from her all the time. And to answer your question, as far as should a mentor look like us, I don't think that's necessary. I just think it has to be the right person who really believes in you. And yes, like you say, it's still nice to see, you know, people of color in higher places so that you do have something to aspire to. But just thinking about a mentor, I don't think in terms of necessary color of skin. Is it just the right fit? Yeah,
and I'm in agreement with both of you. How do you mentorship? It's a people thing, right? You got to find your person.
Right.
So someone that's investing into you that has the time to answer your million questions you may have and not give the impression that you're bothering them or, because I mean, I think that's something we probably need to speak on too about some people may initially want to be a mentor, but they don't understand everything that comes around with like a true and authentic mentorship. And they may be like, I don't really have, time no more. I look at a mentorship as kind of a lifelong thing per se. That is somebody you can always reach out to. You can be in different organizations. They can be on the other side of the country. You can send them an email and you know that they will respond to your email or give you a return phone call and listen and provide wise counsel on whatever you got going on career-wise, or if your mentorship is one that, you have a professional mentor and a personal mentor. Sometimes you can have one mentor that fits kind of both roles. That's kind of how I view mentorship. And that may be too much to ask of someone, honestly. So I'm in perfect agreement with you, Sandra, that it should be about you finding that person that, aligns with where you're trying to go within your career and in life.
Exactly.
That should be the only thing that matters, in my opinion. All right, moving on to the next question. We'll start with you, Sandra, this time. Have you ever served as a mentor?
I do. Many times. And even currently, my new A&M, I feel, she reminds me of myself a little bit. She was really nervous, scared getting into the A&M role. But she's doing a fantastic job. And, but I do hope to, I want to be part of an official mentoring program at some point. I feel like I'm getting there because of all the mentorship that I've had. But yeah, I do believe in we should always mentor others. And I don't think anyone's too young to mentor, or whether it's work-related, life-related. I consider myself a mentor. I like helping people in life.
No, that's great. David, pivoting to you, same question. Have you ever served as a mentor, and is that something you may be potentially interested in one day?
I've never thought about it being a mentor. I know a lot of my coworkers make jokes that I'm the counselor of my department. Everybody come to me with their problems and their concerns. I think because I don't have any judgment and I take the time to help them. I think like you were saying before, sometimes we get so caught up in representation and it mattering, and it does, but there's another step to that as far as what are you doing for the people that's coming behind you? What are you doing for the next generation? And like Sandra said, I just love to help people and I love to sort of guide them and not necessarily follow my path, but encourage them to follow their own unique path and within legacy or not. I think that's important. After sitting in this podcast, definitely be interested in being a more formal mentor to others. I could get into that.
All right, so this newsletter, you guys don't put it out there. So see random emails coming to your inbox. You guys put it out there that your old man is one of poor warrior. So don't be deleting emails, but like, all right, never did that. All right, next question. I'll start with you, David. How did you meet and get connected with your, I guess, your mentor, right? So you mentioned Tressa Graham and Andre Cole. How did that informal mentorship begin?
Well, like you guys were saying earlier, it's about building a relationship. And once you sort of have that camaraderie with somebody and you can sort of tap into like their abilities and their unique skills, that's where a mentor, mentee, is that the term? terminology. That's where something like that can manifest, can grow from. So it was more like that, just kind of just like talking and having conversations off to the side. That's where those relationships for me came from.
Nah, that's great. Same question for you, Sandra. How did you meet or get connected with your mentor, which is Mel? You said Mel was your mentor. So kind of walk us through like how that relationship started, began.
Well, I initially met her when I interviewed for the A&M role. And I would have periodic meetings with her. She wasn't my immediate boss, but I would have periodic meetings with her. And early on, I felt that I could tell her anything and talk to her about anything. And so then we fast forward, the manager that was there had left. And like I said before, I wasn't interested in applying for that position, but was encouraged. So I did, and I would have regular meetings with Mel, kind of just going forward, and I just can't say enough great things about her. She's just been extremely supportive, and she has helped me find my speak up voice in this corporate world, because I can say anything to her and never was worried about any, you know, retaliation, or if it was something that I was really uncomfortable with it, you know, getting out to anyone else. I just felt really safe and secure with her. And so just by being the A&M there, and her encouraging me to apply for the manager's role, is how everything kind of the mentoring began.
Yeah, thank you for sharing that again, Sandra. I think one thing you highlight very well is the unspoken influence of mentors, right? So you said you wasn't even interested in applying for a leadership role, so we would have lost a great leader, right? If you decide to lead an organization. So I think that's awesome.
That's right. Say that again. Great leader.
So I think that's also the other beautiful part of mentors, right? They're able to kind of nudge you and kind of be your personal cheerleader, right? Per se. To be like,
yes.
Nah, you'll do great at it. Like, you know, don't overthink it. Like, hit the apply button. Because, I mean, let's be honest. A lot of probably people currently now may have all the tools and the skill set necessary to be a great leader, but they may not have that right mentor kind of pushing them out there to be either be like, hey, you got to be uncomfortable. You got to go for it.
Right. Yep.
Because me, as a mentor, objectively looking at you, you have all the tools and the skill sets to be a great leader. And I think you both mentioned that a lot of times our mentors can see things in us that we may not be able to truly realize at that moment in time. And sometimes that can be a career hindrance for you because you think you don't have any opportunities or you think you can't grow. But I think that's probably because you don't have the right mentors around you to kind of be like, hey, don't stop doubting yourself. Like, you can do this.
You can do this. Right. Yep. Yeah. Right.
All right. Next question. We'll go back to David. How has having a mentor helped you in your career and navigate it through life?
The advice that I got has definitely kind of given me the confidence to, like you said, just apply for jobs and pitch myself to kind of like know where your skills lie, know where your greatness lies, and not be afraid to sort of reach out and talk to somebody who may be like upper administration. When you need anything. So I think that's what the mentors that I've had in my time here at this organization has definitely instilled in me, is just kind of just instilling some confidence.
Now that's awesome. Same question for you, Sandra, how has having a mentor helped you in your career?
You know, it's taught me it's okay to not always have the answer when the question is posed to you. It's okay to say, let me get back to you on that. And also to listen. Just sometimes just sit there and just listen. That, which I've gotten a lot better at, just sitting there and listening.
Now, great answers by the both of you. But I think we have about three questions left. So I'll go to the next question, and I'll start with Sandra. Do you have a favorite memory with your mentor or a moment that stuck with you?
You know, it's, so I had lost my dad to COVID, and I had taken some time off, and I came back to work, and I got on the unit, and I was having a hard time. I wasn't on the unit any more than a couple minutes, and I heard Mel's footsteps coming up the hall. It was almost like she knew I needed support at that moment, and she just showed up. I cried like a baby on her shoulder. I did. And, you know, she really supported me. I ended up going back home, of course, but in that moment, that's where it's like, no matter what, I know she's going to be there to show up in that moment. There's some great moments too, you know, where we've laughed at things, but that's the one that comes to mind first.
Yeah. No, and before we move on, sorry for your loss, and my condolences to you and your family. We'll be remiss to kind of gloss over that. So thank you for sharing that. And I'm glad that you had a leader, authentic leader, to be that support for you at that moment in time. Because those are truly the things that keep people with their organizations, right?
Exactly.
We can think about is money, which, you know, that definitely holds a lot of weight too. But I mean, knowing that people value you as a person first, it's extremely important.
Yes, it really is.
I would say most of everyone. All right, David, same question for you. Do you have a favorite memory with your mentors or a moment that stuck with you that you kind of?
I know for me, a moment that kind of stuck out for me that kind of was like an aha moment for me was Andre and Tressa in different ways, basically telling me, hey, you need to stop being you're a great support, but stop being the supporting player in your own life. Be the lead role. And I had never thought about it like that. At first, I was a little offended, what you trying to say? But I realized, like, oh, you're right. And once again, it gave me that confidence boost to kind of, you know, apply for jobs or reach out to other people and just kind of just not be so timid and shy about things and just kind of know my worth. And that was, yeah, that's something my therapist, who I spent a lot of money on, had never made me realize. And so it was kind of, it was really cool. And once again, special coming from my people. That was like a special thing for me to realize.
So when I hear David saying, Tress and Andre, he owe you some money because he was paying his therapist and that wasn't able to so he said that check gonna be in the mail for the both of you guys. I think you know, kind of going back to what you said, David, I think mentors have the ability to be honest with you, right? Because, I mean, we live in a world where people think things happen overnight, right? I mean, I can kind of look inward to my own stories. I mean, how many times I applied for jobs and I didn't get the jobs or no, and people may see me as discouraged there, but they don't see all of that, right? The applying for jobs, you're getting denied. You apply again, you get denied again.
Right.
You know, the mentors are the ones for you to be like, hey, keep trying, don't give up. You know, if it's meant for you, it's going to be for you. I think that's the other, you know, kind of unspoken things about mentors, right? They're able to see you at your vulnerable and weakest moments and build you back up to go out there and to face it all again.
Amen to that.
All right, this is going to be our last question. So why do you think mentorship is essential for Black employees at Legacy? And we can kind of balloon it out to include all people, right? I think we're really focusing on Black people because it says Black History Month, and that's the context. But, you know, if you want to talk about the micro and the macro, I'd be interested to see and curious to see how you guys view that question. So we'll start with Sandra.
What was the question again?
So why do you think mentorship is essential for Black employees at Legacy?
It lets us know that we can aspire to be whatever we want, to be more, that we don't have to just settle, and that someone does believe in them and support them and will help them, you know, reach whatever their dream may be.
David, same question for you. Why do you think mentorship is essential for Black employees at Legacy? And like I said, you can expand on that if they include all groups, all races and ethnicities, but the micro and macro.
I think Sandra said it best. And really, just for everybody, not even just for Black people. Sometimes you just need that guidance, that whisper in your ear, that advice. That, you know, a lot of times we like to pretend like we know ourselves and we know what we're doing, but oftentimes we don't. And like I said before, you know, other people can see things in us that we didn't even realize we had. And so I think that it's important, whether it's formal or informal.
Now, thank you both. I couldn't have said it any better. So as we're closing out this special episode for Black History Month, Black Stories by Black Voices, I have some more data points I would like to share with the listeners. 40% of Black professionals believe mentorship, career coaching opportunities will help lead to a more equitable workplace culture. Yet many professionals don't currently have access to these programs. Mentoring can build trust in organizations for Black professionals. Those who don't currently have mentors cite a lack of confidence in people in their organization, and many are uncomfortable asking for help, which can be a barrier to success. We believe mentoring can help strengthen bonds within the organization's leadership, foster growth, and retain employees by creating strong mentorship and sponsorship opportunities. Berg hopes to work with our Human Resources Department to make mentoring and other career growth programs more formal and structured at Legacy to assist not only Black employees, but all employees. Want to thank our guests, Sandra Evangelista, David Jones, for sharing their mentoring stories. I want to thank you for listening to the special Black History Month episode of Engaging Our People podcast called Black Stories by Black Voices. As with all podcasts, and I'll kind of double down on this, we want you guys to respond because we want us to be the number one. So throw that out there. We value you and your feedback. Please take a moment and drop a message at podcast@lhs.org and give us feedback or tell us about your ideas for stories to engage our people better. If you want to join Berg, we hold our monthly virtual meeting on the first Fridays of every month from 12 p.m. to 1 p.m. And the email is going to be berg@lhs.org. Again, I'm Tyrell Como, Senior Director of Clinical and Support Services at Legacy Good Samaritan Hospital. And thank you all for listening today. Take care, everyone.